So many of you know Emily. She shared her faith and family life with you on a daily basis in Mother's Moment at 2:50 on AM 820 at 2:50 p.m. on AM 820 St. Gabriel Radio. She co-authored a winning book with Michelle Fanley, Divine Mercy for Moms, and now they've launched their second book, The Friendship Project. I know there's a table out there with Emily and Michelle, and feel free, the books are there on the table. And she also serves on a leadership team at Catholic Women's Conference and blogs at CatholicMom.com. Earned her bachelor's degree in mental health and human services at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And she and Michelle, her co-author, have received an outstanding alumni award this year from the university. Emily has been privileged to speak to different women's groups and some national conferences with Michelle on her own. She has appeared on Catholic Radio, and she's a regular contributor on Relevant Radio Morning Air. Her most recent endeavor is to direct the national effort of the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network and help with media exposure. And at this point, I'd like to welcome Emily Jaminet.
Well, I've never had my dad introduce me like that before. That was very, very special. To see the church full from this view is breathtaking. To look at all of you, I hope you are as joyful as I am to be here. What a tremendous gift. And before we start, I'm going to begin with a prayer. I call it my stoplight prayer because I literally wrote it at a stoplight one time. I had a car full of children and I was feeling just a little bit of that nervousness, the transitions in life, and sometimes those are great opportunities to pause. So as my dad mentioned, I have seven children, 19 to 2, and this is going to be a very practical talk. I haven't figured out how to be perfectly transformed by the Sacred Heart, but I do know that's where we need to go with everything. So let's bow our heads and begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, calm my inner chaos and bring peace to my mind and refresh my soul. Allow me to be a vessel of your living water and share it with those who need strength. Help me to be merciful to my neighbor and to love you above all things. Amen. So what a gift to be here with my parents, with Sacred Heart Columbus, the privilege of, you know, being asked recently to be the director of the national movement with the Sacred Heart Enthronement, taking it national. And through speaking and, you know, leading in conferences and networking with other conferences, I've come to realize something really special is taking place here in Columbus, Ohio. The gift of Sacred Heart Columbus, the gift that we have 80 missionaries, the missionaries are in red today, what they do for the people day in and day out of bringing Jesus is something so special. It is something that many, many cities do not have that I'm really unaware of. And one of the other things that's really special about the conference here is that many of these movements have died off. Many of the once volunteers have, you know, no longer can give to the capacity. So having a younger movement here in Columbus is something that is just such a gift. Now, my love for the Sacred Heart really began, I'm call myself third generation Sacred Heart. I think I'm more than third generation, but my mother comes from, my mother's 100% German. She comes from a very German family, and my whole entire lineage on that side was Catholic. And this was something in which my grandfather, I grew up in a family where my grandfather was always making those plaques, the plaques that we have at the Sacred Heart Enthronement table. And he was, you know, gluing them and preparing them to go to Mother Teresa's orphanages. And I just thought that's what everybody's grandfather did on their day off. Then when I would visit, we'd have to watch EWTN because Mother Angelica was on. And I thought that's what everybody did when they visited their grandparents. And but it was such a great insight so many lessons learned by their, not only their works, but also their prayers, how they love their family, and then how they pass that on to my parents. And really, I just hope that I am able to touch a little bit on what's been given to me and really apply it to each one of you and see that this devotion is not just for the pious, for the holy, for the perfect. It's for everyone. And it's something that it is a lifeline to live in this culture that is very, very important to understand that, you know, we're not just trying to target those who love God with all their heart. I hope many of you are here to also bring this message to everyone in your circle, to your children, to your neighbors, to those who are truly less fortunate. I think of the scripture, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkness, I fear no evil. We too can fear no evil when we put our trust in the heart of Christ. When we develop this deep and lasting relationship, we don't need to fear the world. We don't need to fear our problems. We need to allow our struggles, our difficulties, our unemployment, our infertility, our abundant fertility, whatever burdens us, to unlock a deep love with Jesus. And as I've been preparing for this talk, I have to tell you what has touched me the most is our beautiful crucifix here. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it just transformative? And you get to look at it as I give this talk. So I have my tiny little one here to remind me of what is this day about? It is about the person of Jesus. And, you know, as we look here to our Lord, we can really set our eyes upon some key components. First being the wood in which he died on. Oftentimes we think about the wood of our Lord on Good Friday. That's the day that I bring the seven children and my husband and I get through the service and we kiss the cross and we remember what he did. And yet it needs to be more than Good Friday. It needs to be every day. So a lot of this talk is going to revolve around the beams of our Lord and the person of Christ and how that plays out in our life. So the first thing I want you to focus on is that we can't give what we don't have. Oftentimes, we try to perform our duties in life, do what we need to do, especially in the spiritual life, but I would call it living on crumbs. If we don't come to know the person of Christ and understand who he is and what he means to you, it's very hard to get out of bed in the morning. It's really hard to go to Mass. It's really hard to live your life. You need to be rooted in a prayer life that is deeply focused on Christ. So the beams coming down are really a reminder to me that we need to have that relationship with Christ. And that personal relationship with Christ, in this busy culture, it's very easy to be confused on how to set up your time. A lot of times people will say, well, I'm a busy mom. I don't really have time to pray. Or my job is all consuming. I don't really have time to pray. Or, you know, someone said to me just the other day, I don't even have time to think about prayer or God. I feel so burdened by my job and the demands in my life. And all I could think about is we need the person of Christ to get through. And the gift about the Sacred Heart devotion is it is not just about our relationship with God the Father, but he gives us a roadmap on how to unlock new graces in our life. And I know we've been talking a lot about the enthronement, and we'll go through the promises of St. Margaret Mary. And even during the talk, I recommend you to look at the back part of your pamphlet. Study those promises. Understand those promises. We're gonna discuss each promise and what it means to us, but we can't give what we don't have. And I really think the Sacred Heart devotion is a devotion of hope. It's a devotion in which we are placing our life into Christ's hands and we're allowing his heart to become our heart. So as we think about our relationship with God the Father, we were so blessed to receive the bread of life through being fed through the Eucharist. What a gift to do that. And that really is how we are fed spiritually. I encourage all of you, beginning with, you know, if you are falling away from the church, if you, you know, struggle to even go to Sunday Mass, that is something that will only bless you. The more, you know, as St. Margaret Mary talks about, frequently going to Mass as often as you can. And I like that, because for some of us, it's every day. For others, it's multiple times, whenever we can. But, you know, really rooting yourself in prayer is how we can do what we need to do. And it's something that we can definitely move forward. And we can't, if we can't give what we don't have, the other thing that we are blessed to hear right now is having four priests hearing our confessions. So feel free in my talk, feel free to get up and stand in line if you'd like to go to reconciliation. And know that this is a sacrament that is available on Saturdays. It's a sacrament that's available by just picking up the phone and calling your local pastor and setting up some time to discuss and a time to receive this blessed sacrament. So the sacrament of reconciliation is how we get ourselves in line with God. What I love about this devotion to the Sacred Heart is that it really calls us to contemplate God's glory, his heart. And we can't understand his heart unless we understand who brought us this heart, who revealed this heart to us for really our modern time. St. Margaret Mary Alacoque was born in the 1600s in France. She was the fifth of seven children. She came from really a poor family. She only had 2 years of formal education, which my other books were on Divine Mercy, and I thought that was interesting that St. Faustina also only had 2 years of formal education. But like St. Faustina, both of them had this tremendous love for the Blessed Mother when they were young, love for God. And God worked on that opportunity to give them continual more grace. And she had many hardships, like many of you in this room. St. Margaret Mary suffered greatly. For 4 years, she could not even walk. She was in so much pain. She said, "I felt like my bones were brittle." But she told the Lord, if you heal me, I will come and serve you. And she did. She was healed. And after she was healed, she joined the Visitation Order in 1671 in Perrier-la-Montelle. And she was professed the following year. St. Margaret Mary experienced these divine conversations, these apparitions where our Lord appeared to her. And sometimes his heart was a blazing furnace. Other times she saw the pain that we cause with our sin. But the quote that always sticks with me, the most important quote, and that motivates me to grow in my relationship with God, is, "Behold this heart which has loved so much, but has received nothing but coldness, indifference, ingratitude in return." Wow. Sounds like it's written for our Lord sharing that for 2018, huh? Again, "Behold this heart which has loved so much, but has received nothing but coldness, indifferent, ingratitude in return." So I have placed my hope in Jesus, because if they were having problems in the 1600s, and they were obviously having problems when we look back in history at every stage, we get to be an opportunity to bring this devotion to others and to love God's heart. So, so important. This is one of these very, very meaningful quotes to me that also Jesus said to St. Margaret Mary, or she said about Jesus. She said, "True it is that one who loves does not think, even in the midst of the greatest suffering, that he is suffering anything. But you will surely grant me that no one can love without suffering. The love of my God is a pitiless tyrant who never says enough." Our Lord never says enough. He loves us so much, but we can't give what we don't have. We can't give what we don't have. If we don't come to the heart of Christ and come to know his heart, come to know that he died for us, we can't give what we don't have. And that is so, so important. Finally, I want to just share the last words of St. Margaret Mary. As she was suffering, she was just longing to be with God the Father. And yet she was anxious. She was thinking about this moment of death. But the words that consoled her were the words that she said, "Mercy, oh my God, mercy." Those were her final words. And the fact that we are going to love God with all we have, we're going to give him who we are, but ultimately it's God's mercy that's going to pour over us and our families and where we're going to place all of our trust. And because God loves us so much. So as we look to the cross, what I think is very, very important is to recognize if though we can't give what we don't have, the key transformation needs to take place in our heart. Our heart is what allows us to do what we do with new vision, eternal vision. Many of us are burdened by even our first moments of waking up. The minute we hit the alarm clock, we're annoyed. We're annoyed at politics. We're annoyed at our family. We're frustrated with our jobs. For many of us, we haven't liked our jobs our entire career. But Jesus is offering us on this day a heart transplant so that we can get through what we are struggling with. And as I have read about the movement of the Sacred Heart Devotion, which really began, we're going to be hearing about the history later today. I just touched a little bit on St. Margaret Mary, but with John the Apostle and connecting through generations and time, there was a great enthronement crusade launched by Father Mateo. And he really recognized that families needed more than just the image of Jesus in their home. They needed this heart transplanted. They needed faith to pull them together. And that's something in which we can't just be going through the motions of our life. We need to figure out how to unlock and engage our heart into what we're doing, the people we love, and how do we go about doing that? One of the transformative insights we have with this devotion is one of the points in St. Margaret Mary's apparitions is that Jesus gave her a patron saint. And the patron saint was St. Francis of Assisi. And I read that two different times in two different books, and I just thought, oh my goodness, isn't that unbelievable that she was given this patron saint? And in my own life, he was a very important saint with my formation at Franciscan University of Steubenville, praying before the image in Assisi, San Damiano, and recognizing how little I was, how big the problems of the church world were at the time, even in my 20s, feeling that. And yet, you know, recognizing that St. Francis went a different route. He recognized that he didn't have, that, you know, as the church was falling down, you know, Jesus asked him to rebuild my church. And I really believe that the Sacred Heart Enthronement, that this movement here is how we can rebuild our church, like Father talked about earlier, how we can be engaged, get that heart transplant that all of society needs. Because it's not about being Pinterest perfect. It's not about having the perfect home. It's not about having what appears to be the perfect family. And it's something in which is so powerful because St. Francis also, I believe, taught St. Margaret Mary through her writings and her journals. She talked about the value of suffering. If we only knew the joy of offering up what we even endure each and every day. Reparation is something in which is very deeply rooted in this devotion of figuring out how we can, you know, not be resentful, but be joyful about our burdens and our cross. And isn't that what the world needs right now? Isn't that the witness that is transformative? And I can say as a mother with 7 children, if you just followed me in the grocery store, the negative comments, the confusion, why would you have 7 children in this society? Are you a millionaire? You know, they would say to me, or, you know, what they want to know every detail. And I really just turn to them and I say, I trust in God. I trust in God that he will provide. I trust in God. And I think that's something, it doesn't matter where we are in life. We need to have that definite relationship and recognize that St. Francis is a great place to start to rebuild my church through the enthronement, to rebuild my church through welcoming Christ into your life. And not just that brick and mortar, but really the authentic heart transplant that we have. Because as we know, Jesus says, I am the door, by me enter in him and he shall be saved. So as we know, you know, Jesus' door was his heart. Jesus' door was allowing us to venerate his heart. And St. Margaret Mary talks about the connection between the Eucharist and his heart. We are so blessed here at St. Michael's and many churches to have the ability to go to adoration, to spend time in quiet prayer. As I mentioned in the beginning, this entire devotion is giving you a roadmap to holiness. And for many of us, adoration is challenging. Getting to church is challenging. But those images in your home, the image of the Sacred Heart, is your doorway on how you can spend time with the Lord, you know, honoring him, loving him through, they call it night adoration. Possibly just where you go and bring your trials, where you say your morning prayer. These things are absolutely how you can gain a new vision of your life in those miracles that we seek each and every day. So St. Margaret, Jesus told her that there are these 12 promises in which we were given through the visions and through the apparitions. And I'm going to touch on some of these 12 promises, and they are in your book. And I ask you to, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, which is the one that jumps off the page for you? Which is the one that you're going to start asking the Lord? Is it you want a more fervent faith? Is it that you are just so fearful about your hour of death? What is the one that you long for? Father Larkin once said, what is new in these promises is therefore not their content, but the circumstance of their fulfillment. In fact, that is what has already been promised in the substance of the gospel is now attached precisely to the devotion to the Sacred Heart. So as Catholics, it's not just about putting Jesus up in our home, but it's about learning to honor him, learning to live out the message of the gospel in our very life. Now, the first three promises are so personal and intimate. I will give them all the graces necessary for their state in life. Who does not want grace in their state in life? Think about your state in life. Are you, you know, a newly married person and you're longing for stability and understanding, you know, what is God's plan for you? Are you here and you know, wondering what state in life my children have been raised? I don't know what I'm called to do in my life. You know, what do? I have a lot of extra time in my hands. I'm feeling lonely in my state in life. You know, think about, reflect, allow the Lord to work in your heart and recognize we're all in a different phase and stage of life. So what was normal and average for, you know, many years of our life might be you're in a new place, and that's okay. Be where you are and ask the Lord for those graces. I will give peace in their families, and I will unite families that are divided. For many of us, that truly is our ultimate prayer, and we don't know how God's going to work that out in our life, but we know that we are called to pray, to do acts of reparation, to seek out kind, loving, compassionate relationships with those in our life and intercede for them on everything we do. St. Margaret Mary spoke once and she said in her letters, three powerful things in which the devil is afraid of is when we assert our free will with food, drink, and sleep. So from this day forward, don't resent your disrupted sleep schedules. Your, you know, if you can't get your coffee at exactly 7:20 when you want it, or fasting through food. Using your free will, choosing to offer those things up are such gifts and assets to your loved ones and can be vehicles of reparation and ways in which you can be not only transformed, but get the graces that others so need. St. Margaret frequently talks about that if we only knew the value of our suffering, we would do it with such joy and we would ask for another day of it. And that's something in which the world does not tell us. The world tells us to relax, to calm down, to figure out how to find that hack so that you don't have to do what you are really obliged to do each and every day. So don't resent your life and what is given to you, but instead find value in it. It's so, so important. And the third, I will console them in their troubles. For many of us, we struggle. We all struggle. There's no one that does not need the consolation. And that's when we pray for that heart transplant, that Jesus gives us a new heart, and that we allow him to console us, and that we don't become hard-hearted. Because hard-heartedness is something in which it's an epidemic. You know, recently I have been observing this, and my mom commented the other day, we talk more about our pets than we do our children. We just walk to the park, everybody's, you know, gently stroking each other's dogs and interacting on that. And I can walk by with my 2-year-old and not even an eye goes to that child. We need to recognize that it's not that people are bad in any way, but it's just an epidemic of just people becoming cold and disconnected to the gifts that God has given us, the gift of children, the gift of family, the gift of our faith. And that's something in which is so important, that we have this heart that's transformed, that can go forth. So I encourage you to continue to bring these promises to the Lord, you know, ask him for more faith. But what is most important, what we're here today is about, I will bless those places in which the image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. I will imprint my love on their heart, and those who even wear this image on them, I will destroy in them all disordered movements. That's one of the longer versions, but that's gives you such an idea that we're called to expose our Lord's heart in our home and then honor it. And the way we can honor it is, like we were saying, through loving God. Now, as we look to the crucifix, what was most striking to me is how Jesus's hands are outstretched. He is longing for us. He's given everything he has at that moment of his crucifixion. And truly, that's where we are in our life. We need to give God everything we have. And yet we can't give what the Lord can't give us. So I think about, one of the books that Michelle and I wrote was The Friendship Project. And we talked about the importance of having these spiritual friendships. So as we go forth, we do service. And sometimes it's a lot easier to love the people that we love. We'll call it our family. So that's a smaller hug. That's a smaller embrace. But our Lord is calling us to extend our arms wider and wider so that we can love like St. Francis. We can love like the saints. And we can go forth and really embrace all the people of our life. Because with the heart transplant that the Lord is giving us through this movement, we know that it's only him that can help us to love those that we struggle with. And that's something with my vocation of being a wife and mom, that it's not about being a perfect mom. It's not about being always the best mom, but it's about allowing God to work through me and transform me each and every day. And that's all of our vocations. Every step in which we take is so, so important. Mother Teresa tells us, God has called me not to be successful, but to be faithful. And that's really through the enthronement of bringing our Lord into our home, exposing and honoring. It's very powerful. Now, a lot of you will say, well, how does that play out in my life, that transformation? What does that look like? So our family had their home enthroned 5 years ago. We did it the day after Thanksgiving because we had both sides of the families there. We invited them for the enthronement. And one of the things, I did it mostly because, like I said, my grandparents did it, my parents did it, and I believed it was a good thing. I just felt very busy and burdened by my state in life of, you know, caring for the young children. So we did the 7 days of preparation. We did the best we could. Sometimes we said the full rosary. Sometimes we said a decade of the rosary. Sometimes we said the litany, but we did it our best we could. And I still remember when my husband took the image and put it on the mantle. And when he did that, something changed, not only physically, because the image now is on the mantle, but within all of us, is that we welcomed Christ into our home as a Lord, as friend, as Savior, as King. Whatever that mess was going on in that day, he was allowed to be there. He was welcome. He no longer was knocking on the outside of our door, but he came in. And so, you know, a lot of people will say, well, what changed? I want these promises. How did these, you know, what took place? And I can tell you, 1 week after we enthroned the house, there was a light bulb that went off in my head that I believe came from that enthronement. And my son was in seventh grade at the time. He was running on the treadmill in the basement. And I called everyone up for dinner. And he said, Mom, I'm going to take a nap. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. Come on up. And he said, no, I'm feeling really tired. And I believe because of the enthronement, I heard the word carbon monoxide. And I knew that I had a problem. For, you know, recently we'd bought the house in the summer. We hadn't had the heat on very long. And some of my kids were getting headaches. Some of my kids didn't feel good. But in that moment, I didn't ignore those symptoms, which with seven kids, it's easy to kind of let things pass. Oh, you don't feel good. I called. I had the technician come out. And they actually turn off all the gas. And he said to me, ma'am, you're just such a lucky lady. You're just so lucky that you caught this. Your rates are really high. I need a new furnace. It was coming from the water heater and the furnace. And I said to him, no, I'm not lucky. We just enthroned our home to the Sacred Heart. We just gave Jesus our home. And that was a very dramatic story, but yet it's very important to understand that you give Jesus everything. You give him your finances. You give him your home. You give him your business. For many of us, you know, our biggest stress might be our place of employment. Put him as king of your home. You can do that. Our schools, welcome him in. See what he would do with, you know, with that institution, with your life. And from that moment, you know, my husband and I realized raising a family is so much bigger than if we're qualified or not. It's about giving God the opportunity to work. And since my involvement with the Sacred Heart Enthronement, I've heard so many similar stories to the one I shared about families welcoming Jesus in. And then Jesus, through his Sacred Heart, he exposes, as we expose and honor him, some of the issues in which you need to be dealing with in your own home. So I say that so gently. He gives us new vision, new understanding of what we need, where our priorities should be. Maybe to us, a priority, you know, was our career at the time, but our family was falling into shambles. So the Sacred Heart realigns things. He exposes, you know, the ability for us to see ourselves for who we are. He gives us that new understanding of, you know what, I don't have it all together. But now Jesus is protector and provider. I'm going to entrust my life to him. I've had many widows tell me, and women who no longer live with their spouse through annulled divorces or marriages, but they both have said to me, these women have said, I have a protector and provider, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. I have someone to be here with me. Many, many people have said, I have that person that I can turn to because my spouse is no longer with me. And it brings such hope to all of us. I've had other people tell me the story in which addiction was identified. You know, a lot of times we need to identify the troubles in our life to know what we're dealing with. And they've said through the enthronement, addiction was identified, and then we could go about the process of getting that loved one help. So if you have a loved one in your life in which is struggling with addiction, Father Larkin tells a story in his enthronement book. He tells a story about he showed up to do the enthronement and the husband was drunk. And the wife was mortified. She's like, please, Father, go away. We'll do this another time. And he said, is this your reality? And basically, and she says, yeah. And he said, no, let's put Jesus, let's enthrone him. And the father enthroned It was a statue of the Sacred Heart, and he was a little wobbly, but it went on to the mantle, and the children were present, and they prayed. And she, in the book, it says he never took another drink again, because he got the strength he needed. So we don't want to, you know, run from our struggles, but we want to bring them to the Sacred Heart. We want to believe that transformation can happen right in our very own home. And, you know, all of us can definitely have that freedom. So as we, you know, think about the enthronement, as we think about how do we, you know, do we have the strength to even do it? You know, as my parents have said multiple times, and every missionary that's wearing red, ask him, what is it like to enthrone a home? What do you see? What is your perspective? Everyone that I've talked to have said, we don't go anywhere but where you invite us, which is typically the family room. We pray with you because for many families, prayer is awkward. Prayer is difficult. Prayer is something in which we want to be a part of that teaching lesson for you and jump-starting this. We want to be a part of the process. And part of the enthronement is very special, is that you share your intentions. And even in my own family and in the lives of other families, when we share our intentions with others out loud and we talk about what is in our heart, we then bond and we come together. So, you know, we can talk about the intention of, you know, who are we praying for? You know, what do we want to also, you know, who are the people in our life that are struggling? What is the virtues that we need in our own life? And up in Detroit, the Men of the Sacred Hearts really also highlight the fact that this is when mothers and fathers come together in a new way because they hear the prayers of their children. And this is when loved ones, you know, can open up. And you might not even be aware of the burden in which a child is carrying. So as that's been important in my own family, it's also been a stepping stone to incorporating that every single day. I try to ask my children, you know, what are you praying for? What are you thanking God for? What virtues do you want? Because those interactions, those prayer interactions are so important and such a gift. So as we look to our Lord, you know, we have to recognize that one of the things at San Damiano, the cross of St. Francis, really the two beams come together in such a beautiful way, right, as they intersect. So that's really our relationship with God the Father, becoming solid in our prayer life, growing every day, going before our images in our very own home, having that meditation time, you know, growing in our love for God. But if our heart is not transformed, if we can't love God with a heart that is like his, that St. Margaret Mary, you know, behold this heart, if we can't love his heart, we can't do all that we need to do and be transformed. And that's really where we go forth and do service. So I believe everyone here has so many activities in your life that you're involved in, ministries. I see so many leaders out here that wear many, many different hats. And those service acts are so important to the greater community. And I thank you for that. I thank the men and women's conferences. I thank the leaders here. I thank the Knights of Columbus and everyone that's involved in ministry. But we can't do this service without that transformation. And that's what makes the Sacred Heart Enthronement unique, is that we really have an opportunity to collaborate. It's not a compete with any other ministry. It's an opportunity to work in the very fabric of the home and give them the opportunity for a miracle to take place. So if you are longing for that miracle, if you're wondering, you know, what would life be like if we weren't burdened with a particular burden, allow it to be a source of transformation and allow Jesus in. Don't let him just continue to knock at your door. And a couple of the other testimonies that we hear, and I'd love to hear all of your testimonies, is that, you know, people say, you know, TV's become annoying since we enthroned the home. I don't like all that distraction anymore. When I used to fall asleep to that constant humming of the television, I no longer need the television to be my friend. A lot of testimonies of just the ability of seeing their finances in a new way. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you have. We all have a longing in our heart for God, but we oftentimes fill it with materialism, with consumerism, with just that I need more. So learning to be fully content with what God's given you and yet dream big for God and know that we have such an ability to be transformed in all areas of our life. But when you're always thinking about, well, if I just had more money and if I just had a better car and if I just had more resources, you really miss the opportunities each and every day of your own life. So as we move forward, I want to share a little bit about our national movement, the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, and how really our aspiration is to not only strengthen Sacred Heart Columbus here, but to bring this message to other dioceses. So if you're outside of the Diocese of Columbus, please visit the table. I'd love to connect with you on that and figure out a way in which we can be a spark into other communities and really share what's going on here in Sacred Heart Columbus and how do we bring it on a national level so that other people can have that hope, especially in their family life. As you know, we have enthroned businesses, we've enthroned institutions and schools, but the idea of the Sacred Heart Enthronement and what it can do in the life of a family. I've seen the graces in my own life. As I mentioned, that miracle of the carbon monoxide, it was God speaking in such clear language where I can't afford not to pray, not to give everything to our Lord. So that's something in which I pray that for each one of you, I really thank you for this opportunity to speak to you and give you some possibly new tools for moving forward in a life that's rooted in the Sacred Heart and allowing Jesus on this day to enter into your own heart, enter into a deeper love for the Lord, and see how that love can transform the people in your life. So thank you.